But navigating gay friend groups and making gay friends, you have a beautiful Venn diagram which has three overlapping circles. One, they're actually friendly. They're just horny, or you have money, status, or drugs. I've never seen a more accurate Venn diagram in my life.
Oh, that's
And
so true. It hurts.
the fact that Canadian gays are just the combination of they're actually friendly and they're horny. I mean, it's like you must have been here for a while, I think, to nail it. What's the reception been like with folks that you've shown this book?
That Venn diagram was a lot of fun putting that together. That is lived experience for sure. And the reception has been unbelievable. I actually forgot. I mean, I spent 15 months writing this book, like so much effort into it. Half of the illustrations are mine. That I illustrated myself, and I wrote the whole book. And when that finished, and now I'm getting into like the marketing part of it and talking about my book, I forgot that I had written one. And so when I'd sent it out to different people and they were like, "Oh my gosh, this is so good." I remembered that I actually had written a book and that it is good. It is great. And they have just been over the moon about it. Like they're sending me their favorite parts. Really, really incredible. And I cannot wait for everyone to be able to read it.
Now, I'm sure it's like trying to encourage people to choose their favorite, but is there one anecdote or piece or spotlight in this book that you would suggest as a bit of a hook to bring in and read the whole book? Like, what would be the go-to hook in gay science?
I think some of my favorite chapters are ones that take the stereotypes that have been given to us from people that don't like us, like why we run the way we do, if we're weaker, all those sorts of stereotypes, and not the fun ones we've made up ourselves, like that gay men like iced coffee or that lesbians DIY. And I think those chapters are a lot of fun. They were a lot of fun to write, because they turn stereotype on its head, and the reason why we are these things is actually an advantage. We're better than straight people for it. But my favorite chapter overall is actually about the connection, the chemistry connection between gay men and women. And gay men and straight women have one type of connection, and the other one is with gay men and lesbians. And I think the trope, like the men trope, that straight women have them as like their besties, it kind of like disproves that in media. It references things like My Best Friend's Wedding, where the gay man is to just help her. He drops everything in his world and flies out to help her get a man at a wedding, which is so ridiculous. And so it actually shows that they have mutualism. There is a beneficial relationship between the two that helps them survive. And it is my longest chapter. And honestly, I could have written even more because I just love the connection that we have. So that's probably my favorite one.
As you were speaking, it did make me think what, and I don't know if they're going to be thrilled I'm asking this question, but what chapter or element major publishers raise their eyebrow the highest? What was the one that they were like,
I am happy to say they did not raise their eyebrows at any of it.
Oh, wow.
So the reason why I even got the book deal was because the editor who brought me on loved the series, and he at DK and Penguin got me the book deal and pitched it really hard for me. So since he was my editor, he really believed in gay science. And the majority of the episodes aren't related to sex or not sexual in nature. A few are, definitely, but there are so much that makes us unique that is beyond it. The way we are, our behavior, how we interact with each other, our jobs, like everything. There's so much. And I wanted to show all of that in a book. So it's actually pretty appropriate, technically. It's not too like graphic. Some parts aren't. But there really was no restriction, which is why I'm so proud of the book.
I'm not surprised at all. I mean, I have some pretty weird books in physical copy form. And one of my favorites is a collection of essays on the philosophical implications of bullshit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's yeah, sometimes it's a matter of finding the right publisher, but there's a publisher out there for you. If you're trying to publish
Yeah.
something a little bit off the beaten path, there'll be someone who's at least open to reading a manuscript. So, I
Well,
mean,
yeah,
I'm
and there's
glad you found
also
someone. Yeah.
a good, there was an existing audience that loved the series. And so that's kind of
Definitely
leaning
helped.
into that. You got to do what you've been doing and not change it up for another audience that may know I got to do the thing that I've been doing, and they believed in me.
Well, folks can go and check out that series. I think you have a playlist on TikTok and on your other channels where they can go back and see some of that. It's Heart Throbbit, which I think is fantastic name on Instagram and TikTok. Definitely go and check it out. I do want to clarify, because you clarify in the book, it's not intended for children or kids. It is adult entertainment in terms of, I think, queer folks who have lived a bit of their lives will find it unbelievably. It's authentic, and that's what jumps out at me, like the queer lesbian checklist. I mean, I had to put it down because I was just I was laughing. I thought that was hilarious. It's there are so many parts of it that if there are queer folks listening, you need to get it. Or it's just it's brilliant. It's very happy with the book.
Thank you, Luke. That's
Sebastian,
so sweet.
any closing comments, Sebastian?
No, I'm good.
Excellent. Rob, do you have any comments that you want to pass with the young scientific entrepreneurs who are going to dive into gay science? What any comments for them?
I wish I had a book like this when I was younger, for sure. I think it allows us to poke fun at ourselves without being the butt of the joke. A lot of humor around queer people is that we are the joke. But we don't, it's nice to laugh at yourself. There's so much serious stuff going on around equality that we deserve something silly.
Yeah, you've nailed it. You've invited all of us in to the jokes, and it's a beautiful piece. All right.
Humorlessness is exhausting.
Yes, it is. Oh my God. Yeah. Oh. I mean, if you don't get every joke, that's fine. There was some there that I'm like, I don't, I no,
Some of
not
them might
for
be
me.
regional, even.
Existence is
Not a local stereotype of a lesbian couple who lives in the countryside with one golden retriever and one
I'm a
Labrador
Subaru.
retriever. Yeah, and a Subaru. Like that is not everywhere that has that stereotype. If you live in a region with a lot of countryside, so I would imagine Wisconsin, yes, California, no. They might have access to that stereotype, but it's some things will be regional for
Yeah,
sure.
but power lesbians are ubiquitous. They're everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly. You want to get shit done in your community? Find the power lesbian.
Anywhere with a city council or real estate agents, you'll find power lesbians.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They're true brokers of power. I was gonna end the interview, but it got me thinking about the role that I think this book plays in the larger sort of makeup of our queer community. Our show has been going for a while, and we've talked a lot about how queer culture, queer history, queer identity is taught horizontally. We don't learn how to be queer from our parents 99% of the time. We learn from other queer folks. We've done such a great job of capturing so much of that in a fun, accessible format that I really do think you're adding to the tapestry and the just that work of sharing queer culture with young queer folks who may not know the jokes about iced coffee, for example. The fact that I had to be partner Jake, who insists, even in Ottawa's minus 40 dead of winter snowstorm, that he needs an iced coffee. And I'm but
Yeah,
like
you had to
it's
explain that to me too.
hilarious.
Don't think of it as being a gay stereotype. It's just like, yeah, people drink iced coffee. Everyone loves iced coffee, don't they?
Right.
And
Well, that is the fun of us. That's what a stereo. I mean, they don't apply to everybody, but a few people, it does. They do find some attachment to it, and that's why I had so much fun in the beginning, with all these stereotypes that exist, because some are so wild. Like,
my
who
niche,
came
yeah.
up with this? And why
Most
thing?
Really, what I was angling towards was that I live in a little bubble where everyone I know is queer. So it's like, well, everybody drinks iced coffee, but no, it's just.
Oh, no. Yep. Yeah, no, it's gay science.
Excellent. Well, go and check it out, Gay Science. You can find it on Amazon and your local bookstores. It is being published by DK and Penguin Random House. Thank you so much again for joining us. Do you want to share with folks where people can see you online and follow you?
Yeah, a heart, and I'm on Instagram as Heartthrob Anderson. And yeah, I also post recaps of 90s and early 2000s movies and TV shows. Like I look back at some of the more ridiculous things that we all enjoyed and kind of break down the plot. So there's a lot of different stuff on there.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. And we will be back just after this.
Stole my heart, tore me apart, didn't know what to do. Then I told myself, babe, remember, making beauty is revenge, feeling beautiful. Just scavengers, I'm gonna make my life more fabulous, 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 oh so glamorous, greater than usual, more unusual. Took it all, took it all, took me to hell. Living a nightmare, living for lust, forgetting the love. Get back on my feet, complete everything I have to do, everything I love to do. Making beauty is revenge, feeling beautiful is revenge, better than killing the savages who come to ravage us, scavengers. I'm gonna make my life less fabulous, fabulous, oh so glamorous, greater than usual.
Welcome back to Tranquil Home of Canada's Queer Media. That was Booty is Revenge by Trannytronic. And I'm Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And Grindr has been also in the news again, this time for good and not so great reasons.
So it's not a security breach again?
Well...
Oh no! Okay, tell me the. Tell
yeah,
me the
yeah. I'm just trying to. There we go. So Grindr is being sued in the UK. I believe there's about a couple of hundred people now that have signed up to it. Mm-hmm. The law firm in the UK is taking them to court, claiming that thousands of Grindr users in the UK had their data sold on to third parties. Now, about 670 people, 670, have already signed up in the UK to this lawsuit.
they allege that between 2018 and 2020, that a lot of information, including the fact that people were on Grindr, which can out them, people's HIV status, which can be incredibly personal. Well, it is incredibly personal. It's private health information, and other health and other information was sold to third parties, and potentially those third parties sold the information on beyond that again. It's worth mentioning that in 2020, Grindr changed their permission structure. And I believe they also no longer, as of 2020, do sell that information. This is partly because in 2021, the Norwegian authorities fined Grindr 10% of its global operating revenues, about 5.5 million British pounds, or several million Norwegian kroner, a lot of money. It was 10% of their global operating revenues for data data breaches and breaching of their data protection laws in Norway. Just this past year, they had Grindr had appealed that decision, and they lost the appeal. They have now appealed that, so they're still working their way through it. But in Britain now, 670 people have taken the court, the case to court, including really looking at information such as the UK's Information Commissioner's Office, also called them out for that. So Grindr is in hot water for data breaches from a couple of years ago, so at least 2 or 3 years ago. But if you were a Grindr user, it might be worth looking in. We are going to reach out to privacy advocacy organizations here in Canada and see if there's anything similarly, you know what I mean, happening here in Canada as well. So we'll take an eye, we'll keep an eye on that.
So a general rule when it comes to platforms like this is that if the platform is free, the product is you. And usually what that means, and this is something that Facebook and Google have sort of forged, but we know that behind the scenes it's not quite like this. The thing that they're selling is your eyeballs and your attention to advertisers. But some of these companies also, as well as selling your attention to advertisers, will also sell your data on the side. And I think that is the practice that a lot of people are starting to really question. The idea that for a platform and it's completely free, there should be a part of your brain that goes, how are they making their money? Like, they're not doing this out of the graciousness of their hearts. There's got to be something else going on. That is always something that you always have to be just a little bit skeptical about. And ideally, they're not doing it in an exploitative manner. They're just showing you ads, but you never know.
So Grindr's also going to be rolling out a new feature called Roam. And essentially what this does, I think it's expanding on features that are already in existence.
Is it because even gay men think about Roam at least once a day?
Yeah, I don't think Grindr is a gay man's Roman empire, but it might be. It might be.
It or is it R-O-A-M, not R-O-M-E?
It's R-O-A-M, as in to not Rome, the city of Italy. No, Rome, R-O-A-M, as in to Rome. So that new feature, essentially what it does is it lets you kind of airdrop your location as being in whichever town or city you might be planning to visit.
Okay.
Now, what they're saying is for your urban gays who like to go and travel, you can, you know, in the run-up to using plans, you can act as if you are in that area and see folks there. But I am maybe a little bit skeptical. And the reason being is these kinds of apps, and we talked about this a little bit before, about how Grindr kind of creates this sense of queer folks or gay men being disposable products. You know, it's like you're flipping through a catalog being like, oh, you know, what's available? Is it the right size? You know, I'm not sure if I'm a fan of the you know, the one. You know, it really does give catalog energy, and that is unbelievably that can be very damaging. But on the one hand, they're saying, look, you know, you're here with the place, you can make plans ahead of time. But am I cynical here, Sebastian? Because I think that maybe what they're doing is they're just injecting some fresh blood into communities when the people aren't even there. It's giving me the fast fashion of gay hookup bands. It's just new faces into these areas, so that there's more reasons for people to come and look at the app, because new people might be there at any moment. And I mean maybe it's some deep-seated skepticism, but I don't know. What do you think, Seb?
I believe that there are other apps that already do something like this, but they also tag you. So people will show up as being not currently in town or visitor, or they'll have like a little thing that shows where they're actually located. Like there'll be something there so that if you're communicating with somebody, there'll be something that indicates that they're actually not two blocks away from you. So you can react accordingly and just basically be like, I'm not here for the tourists. You know, I'm here to actually meet someone or what have you. I see your skepticism. It's kind of, I don't know, it's par for course for apps like this. If you're talking about dating apps and actually trying to make long-term relationships, then obviously someone who's more than 2 hours away from you, that's not exactly conducive to, you know, hanging out on a Tuesday night. But if you're hanging out between quotations on a Tuesday night, then yeah, you're going to want them to be local and you're going to want them to be easy to meet. And I don't know, in some ways, Grindr's behind the curve on this because others have been doing this for a while, and which really should mean that I should be more skeptical of those other apps. Not that I shouldn't be skeptical of Grindr is really what that means. But I don't know. I think the commodification of, you know, the human spirit is something that we really need to take a close look at and stop dehumanizing people as products assumed in general. I think a lot of that really just comes down to the choices that you make as an individual and how you treat other people. And I think apps can facilitate viewing people that way. But in the end, if you do not treat other people as commodities to be consumed, that's really up to you. The facilitation makes it harder to ignore that and stick to your guns, but you can make the choice to not treat people that way.
Well, Grindr is testing this in just a few markets at the moment. It'll probably roll it out across the rest of the world later in the year. Usually airdrop in on a location. Now, mate, for about an hour at a time. I misspoke earlier when I said a week. It's about an hour. I don't know how deep of a connection you can make in an hour, but Grindr seems to think that is sufficient time. So we'll see. We'll keep an eye on that and other stories as they progress. But yeah, it's been quite the busy week all over the world. Sebastian, I believe you managed to find a story or two as well yourself.
Well, the big one that I found, well, I mean, I don't want to say the big one. The Canadian one that I found, there was a Health Canada is starting to look at to change its policies or update its policies for sperm donation for gay and bisexual men. And they're basically just updating it to be in parity with the blood donation rules. So it's if you have either, you know, one monogamous partner or no partners at all during that 6 month period, then, you know, you're clean and clear to donate. The difference being that with blood, you're just sort of donating to the general communal blood pool, whereas sperm donation, you can do what's called a direct deposit. So that's, you know, someone in specific and you're just going through the sperm bank to sort of facilitate the IVF process. The rules around that are going to be a little bit more lenient because it's completely up to both parties to ensure that the supply is safe, to put it gently, but they are still going to do the usual, you know, checking your blood, making sure you have certain bloodborne diseases that could impact the unborn child. So they are looking into it, and they're actually updating the laws on May 4th of this year, I do believe. And that is the sort of default of just bringing it on parity with the blood donation, the direct donation. I think they're going to look into that in the future. I don't think that's going to be a law yet. It does look like for now it's just going to be the general same thing. 6 months abstinence, and then a blood check. For sure.
Right. Well, I believe we may well be near the end of our time. And as we wrap up the show, we will be playing out with our last track of the day. I'm just going to pull it up here because it fell asleep on me. This is Love Me by CEC. And I have been Luke Smith.
It's Sebastian. And thank you for listening.
PFLAG Canada is there when it seems no one else is. Did you know that LGBT students hear anti-gay slurs an average of 26 times a day? One out of every four LGBT youth are told to leave home. LGBT youth are more likely to be homeless. 30% of suicides are LGBT. PFLAG is committed to anyone struggling with sexual orientation B issues. PFLAG Canada supports, educates, and provides resources 24/7. Visit pflagcanada.ca.
I'm Javin and I play keyboards and sing in Young Pacific.
I'm Nathaniel. I play guitar and sing in Dead Soft.
Since moving to BC, I've been a huge fan of Emily Carr's art.
I wrote a lot of it on the road. That was our first real tour.
What role do you think time plays in transforming something into art?
We've arrived at sexual maturity as a band.
This is The Arts Show, CJSF 90.1 FM.
Hey. That's right. This is me, Jabe Gradowski, your host as always here on CJSF 9FM, broadcasting from Simon Fraser University in Burnaby on the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples, which belong to the Squamish, Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and the Kwikwetlem. And yeah, this is the art show. As usual, we're going to do our very best to tell you all